Hey everyone, welcome back to Linux Weekly, daily Wednesdays where we sit back, relax, take that midweek break, talk about some of the fun things going on in the world of Linux and open source. I'm Vin Stone, joined every week by Jill Bryan. Everybody watching us live on Twitch, come check out a live show if you get a chance or not. Whatever, I'm not your boss, but we got a bunch of stuff to talk to you about this week. Jill's been missing action for the past 2 weeks. Why? She's been driving around, moving people, shuffling them, all because of a little thing that goes on every year called Scale, and you got quite a report for us about your adventures at Scale 21X this year.
So the Southern California Linux Expo, as Vin said, Scale 21X. It was really an amazing event this year, and what was cool is we were back to pre-pandemic numbers of attendance. And that was really good because the last few years, of course, it's been a little low. So some of the highlights were I got to see Atomic, our longtime patron in our Discord chat once again. He hadn't been to Scale since the pandemic. So it was wonderful catching up with him. And we had a fun LGC gathering at Strider's house, creator of Lutris, before Scale. And Strider, me and my Steve husband and Empty and Chat and Atomic, you know, we had a wonderful visit. Also, it was always wonderful having our friend Empty come to town for Scale, picking him up at the airport and having several meals together and good conversation. And seeing Katana in chat is always wonderful every year. And I usually get to see one or two of his sons. And Glorious Egg Roll again, helping Strider and Empty at the Lutris booth. I also ran into Matt Hartley, who I interviewed, and Chris and the Jupiter Broadcasting crew. And the pictures that just went by were of me and Monica Ayens Madden. We had a wonderful afternoon tea, sandwiches, and scones together at the Tea Rose Garden in Pasadena before the craziness of Scale and setting up our booths together. She was working at the Mozilla Thunderbird booth. And also, another wonderful thing is having the Destination Linux booth next to the Linux Chicks LA booth and Lutris booths was wonderful. And of course, I planned it that way. So that was wonderful. Oh, and there's Empty and Glorious Egg Roll. And also getting to meet Nova the Canadian for the first time, our patron in Discord chat, who also, he won a mini Lenovo ThinkCenter PC from our Linux Chicks LA booth raffle. And that was awesome. And also, John Mad Dog Hall came by again to visit us at the Linux Chicks LA booth, and he got to spin our Linux Chicks LA Wheel O Swag and win a cool penguin surprise. He also wanted more Linux Chicks LA stickers for his laptop, and he had contacted me on Facebook. And I said, of course, come by, Mad Dog. We'll give you as much as you want and as many goodies as you like. And he really enjoyed that. In fact, here's the picture of him spinning the wheel. That was such a great time. And that was, he's an amazing person. And, you know, last year he came by our booth to tell us a very special story about how he helped the Linux Chicks in our early years. And then finally getting to meet Martin Wimpress, otherwise known as Wimpy, and IRL after all these years. I've talked to him on podcasts for many years, of course, in our first episodes of our Trackmania streams. He was a joy to visit with, and we gave each other, you know, lots of hugs. And he gifted me a NixOS POG coin and said, "This is for people who do good in open source." And I was so honored. That was just a special gift. I became very verklempt when he gave this to me. He only gave it to certain people at the conference. And he also gave me this first annual at the Southern California Linux Expo NixCon NixOS t-shirt that I'm wearing now, because that was the first annual. And unfortunately, I didn't get to attend it, of course, because I'm too busy in the expo hall and at two booths and working Scale. So Wimpy was just so gracious. He came by several times with loot from NixCon, and I told him I will be watching it on YouTube because Scale records every room all day long, everything that's happening, so you can go back and see all the hundreds of talks that you wanted to see. So that's, for me, Scale continues another month after Scale, just watching all the speakers talk on their YouTube channel. And I also got to interview someone very special. He's one of the greats in Linux and a very special person who was pivotal in Linux's adoption. And that interview will be coming soon on my other podcast I do, Destination Linux. But I didn't want to say who it was yet because it's a very important person. And I was freaking out when I interviewed him. Yeah. So anyways, just there's so much. Vin, I was telling everyone in chat I could do a whole LWW just on Scale.
Glad you had a fun time. And everybody gets together, and I assume they're going to do one next year.
Oh, yes.
Just maybe. Absolutely. There might be a possibility of it.
22X is coming. In fact, already making plans for 22X.
Keep that in mind. There'll be a link in the show notes for all those pictures if you want to go back and take a look at them. Now, yay. One of the things I've been playing around with, Arthurin picked this up off the Wishes. There's a long story behind that. Go back and watch, I think, week before last on Linux Gamecast if you want the details on it. But this is an Arc A310. This is a little eco version that they've released that doesn't require external power. It's a 50-watt cart. Kind of interesting. Been getting a lot of questions answered. I did a live stream last week, if you missed it, where I stuck this thing in Rectangle, that little thermal note box, just to see if we could make it scream and scream. It did. But we want to test out the AV1 transcoding. And of course, you know, might as well try to get it to play a couple of games. So I got that video in the pipeline for everybody. Yeah. But that's enough of the pre-show. Let's get into it officially with a Red Hat announcement that kind of caught people off guard, including myself. When I'm like, hey, you're going to be making NVIDIA drivers now? Interesting.
Yeah, this is very interesting. So Red Hat announced, you know, something really cool coming down the graphics pipeline. New replacement for Nouveau, which is called Nova. And Nova is an open source Rust-based GPU system processor driver for NVIDIA GPUs. And Nova is going to be actually easier for them to maintain, a lot more simple and more memory efficient. Also, with the Linux kernel getting more and more Rust code these days, Red Hat thought it would be in their best interest to develop the Nova driver in Rust, which could make it a lot more attractive to developers and easier to work on. And, you know, honestly, the key item here is this actually should help tremendously in making an open source graphics driver for NVIDIA cards so you can game on Linux without needing the proprietary NVIDIA drivers installed. We've been wanting to get to that point, like we have with the open source AMD Mesa drivers. So this is really, really cool. There were some reasons behind it, which Ven is going to tell you about. But I think writing it in Rust is a good idea. Definitely.
That's one way to do it. Now, I want everybody to keep in mind, this is going to be GSP only. What's GSP? You never heard about it. Well, that's the firmware that NVIDIA has released. And you're not going to be able to do it with your antique NVIDIA GPUs. It's only going to play your 20, 30, 40, and 50 series cards whenever those things show up. But it is the successor to Nouveau. And we talked about, I don't know if it's on this show, we definitely talked about it on Linux Gamecast, where the developer, the Nouveau, has just been a reverse engineering effort. You know, it's amazing that it worked as well as it did, which is saying not very well, but it was good enough to at least get a frame buffer display up, maybe get X up and working so you could install the NVIDIA proprietary drivers. Well, I'm always impressed by that, but that guy, he said, I've had enough of this. I'm out. I'm leaving. Well, they're kind of coming in. Red Hat's going to pick it back up. I'm like, we're going to make this a real project, and we will see. It's Rust. I talked about this again on Saturday. I'm like, that interesting choice, but hey, it's memory safe. Maybe it's going to work out. Not a lot to do with it right now, but we'll be able to leverage, you know, the work that's being done with the graphics driver itself. This is just the kernel bits, but the graphics driver is Collabra is working with NVK, which is going to leverage Zinc for OpenGL. Interesting times ahead. Interesting times ahead. I mean, we're not too far off from possibly just being able to plug an NVIDIA card in and have it work. At least as much as you could say for like an AMD card or an Intel card. You're still going to have to get your hands dirty if you want to start playing around with a compute. But yeah. Then again, like, that's going to happen. If you just want to play games, maybe this time next year, you're like, click a card in, it just starts working. That'll be great for new Linux users. Really happy to see that. Do you ever install themes, Jill?
Oh, yeah, all the time, but you got to be careful in KDE right now.
I don't think I've ever installed a theme.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do on every desktop.
No, I don't think I have. I thought about it this morning, and I'm like, does XFCE, okay, that's always a good sign. I'm like, does XFCE have themes? I'm like, oh yeah, people make themes for XFCE. I'm like, why? Mm-hmm. Perfect as it is. Well, you know, KDE had a little bit of a problem. In fact, there's a little bit of a warning up right now on their Mastodon account. 3 dots. Global themes and widgets created by third-party developers for Plasma can and will run arbitrary code. You're encouraged to exercise extreme caution when using these products as a user had a bad experience. And by bad experience, I mean, don't undersell it. It wiped all of his drives. That could be a little problem, right? You go to install the theme and it deleted all of the user-mounted drive data. It executed the good old classic RMRF.
Wow.
No questions asked. Just poof. Gone. And that's a bit of a danger. That's a bit of a danger.
Serious,
and
yeah.
You know, KDE is like, yo, if you didn't know somebody could do this, they can. Warning. Which I didn't know. I don't keep track of what is, and this is the KDE global theme, so it's allowed to do a lot more stuff, apparently, from what I was able to read from it. So KDE's thinking about putting up a warning to let you know. And maybe like scrutinizing it, because I don't even know. If I had installed a theme and I lost drive data, if I would ever correlate those two.
Yeah, correlate. Yeah, I wouldn't either.
What else happened? I don't know how long it would take for me to get back to like, that's what caused it? I've never had anything like that. I've had something, I think there was some retro like CDE generational thing somebody was working on. I'm like, oh, here, let me try that. And I installed it and it messed with all my dot files in my home directory for my displays. That made me angry enough. So I can't imagine just losing data, because that would be real inconvenient for like the 30 minutes it would take me to restore from a backup, because I'm sure this user had a backup, right?
Yeah, let's hope at least two other backups. I always want to make three.
Man, like themes never like really caught on. I'm glad KDE's acknowledging this. I would argue that shouldn't be possible, maybe. I don't know enough. I'm not informed enough. So if you know more about this, leave me a comment under the video on YouTube. Let me know what's the best way to get this fixed, because I'm never going to be running KDE any more than I am GNOME. Oh, is this like a legitimate, should we be scared of this? Has this happened in the past? Is this something we need to worry about? Or is this just one random bad actor causing, you know, a mild inconvenience? And if you didn't have a backup, that could be.
Yeah.
That could be rough.
That would be scary.
Yeah, I'm just curious about it because I haven't seen anybody like really panicking about it. I'm like, okay, so maybe this isn't like a big deal.
I guess a lot of people haven't installed that theme, I guess. But KDE's response on Mastodon, they stated, "We are calling on the community to help us locate and quarantine defective software by using the report buttons available on each item in the KDE store." And Nate Graham states, "This particular theme has been removed. Too dangerous to live. We're discussing a path forward to make sure this kind of thing can't happen again." And, you know, the KDE knew quickly that they had to put measures in place to start auditing and curating the themes and widgets that are uploaded to the KDE store. So good job, KDE, for doing it so quickly. They saw an, you know, one issue that they haven't had that I've known, oh gosh, been using KDE since what, over almost 30 years on Linux. And I've never heard of this before. So this was obviously a new thing.
That's the price you pay for beauty.
Yeah.
And oh, mushy, nonsensical stuff on your desktop.
Aw, KDE's a nice desktop. I enjoy using it on my Steam Deck.
I was downhill after 1.3. Somebody's going to bite me on that. I'm like, yeah.
I know. That was what... That...
Get off my lawn.
that was a thing.
I thought we'd give that a mention. Now, up next is
something
we keep on talking about. Because this isn't the first time by any stretch of the imagination.
Absolutely, Ben. So malicious crypto wallet apps have been an issue on the Snap Store for quite some time. And in February, Ben and I even talked about $490,000 worth of crypto that was stolen from someone because of one of these, you know, bad actors. And in the past few weeks, the number of bad crypto wallet apps on the Snap Store has increased, and the Snap Store team has been monitoring new snaps that are being registered. So for increased security against these malicious actors, Canonical has imposed more strict regulations when registering a new snap name. And now manual review is required using the following procedures. First, you have to go to the website listed in the article in our show notes to register the snap name before you push it to the store. And then when you enter all the info, the snap will be submitted for review. And then the engineering team will then evaluate the data and see if anything looks suspicious. And Canonical states, if the name request passes checks, the name will be granted for the snap store. If the snap the name request is suspected as being malicious or is crypto wallet related, the name request will be rejected. In both cases, you will receive a notification. And also, the Snap Store team will be publishing guidelines for how to publish these sensitive snaps. They said by next week. So this is a good thing. Oh. This has just been an ongoing problem, and it's gotten worse.
This, we've talked about it before. This has happened again. This has happened again. And, you know, I don't know why I thought I was having a senior moment because they made that post and they're just like, you know, we've had like a bunch of meetings and stuff like that. I'm like, why are you having meetings? This does not require meetings. This did not require meetings 5 months ago when it was initially a problem and it was brought up. I know Popey's been harping on this and like everybody else on the outside going, yes, like, why, what are you doing here? This required, and like, why are you having meetings? And then I go back to read, like, why did you change the wording of that in your edit? You know, the number, we've been having lengthy discussions on, and they got rid of that. I'm like, yeah, yeah, okay. That blows my mind. That blows my mind. All this does, like 5 months ago, required, all it did, switch to a manual review process. This is the Snap Store. This is not Steam. All right. I don't know how, like, that's a one person, two person job right there. That's what should have been done 5 months ago when this problem arose. And like, I'm baffled that nobody at Canonical is empowered to be able to execute on a very simple problem like this. And they weren't able to do it 5 months ago when this started showing up. 5 months to come back to like, maybe we need to do a manual, maybe you should. Maybe you should, because like from the outside, the perspective here, the lens, the optics of this comes across as not really caring much about your Snap Store. That's the only takeaway I can have. Like, I wouldn't trust getting something on Snap. I just wouldn't. You took 5 months to get this fixed. How else do you look at that? Where's your positive spin on that? Like, well, you know, we thought about it and well, you know, we're going to like still try to automate it a little bit, but we might take a look at it. I'm like, And you know what? Snap needs all the good PR it can get, and this ain't it. Like yeah. Somebody should have been at Canonical that could have just said, we need to fix this. Here's how you fix it. Obvious fixes, obvious. I don't know. I don't know what to say about that, Joe Brent.
Yeah, I think they're just going to have to keep doing manual review.
For they should have been doing it 5 months ago when it was the first problem.
Yeah.
Like, where was the breakdown? Again, there might be things I don't understand. I freely admit that. But from the outside, like, yeah, you do a manual review until you get something really well in place to take care of this issue. And, you know, it's not just crypto stuff. Like, they had issues, and I don't know if they still have issues. I don't follow the Snap Store. Let me know. With, you know, non-official apps. You know, clients for stuff that were saying, hey, this is like, I'm using a made-up example, but, you know, a Spotify app. Like, not from Spotify. Like, that should be like, you know, we did bring that up because I said anything that takes your credentials or logins should have a big red blinking sign on top of it saying not from. And in fact, they should. I don't know. I'm trying to love Snap's Canonical or at least tolerate them. But stuff like this does not instill confidence when there's a 5 month turnaround on like a very what seems to be an obvious solution. Oh,
yeah.
Maybe get it fixed.
Yeah, the technology is awesome. It just needs review. It needs review. They got to be careful with that.
Like the Snap detractors don't need extra ammunition, and you're just handing it to them.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, well, you know, hey, we'll get around to fix it. Well, let's go have some more meetings. Like, why don't you fix meetings? Anybody who's been stuck in, you know, an institution like that, you're like, no, the solution's not meetings. The solution is having somebody capable of like getting stuff fixed without having 5 months of meetings to come to arrive at the obvious solution. I think Popey pointed out, which is a very obvious. Maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? Something that is not quite as snappy is CPU cooling. And yay, that's something I've always been at odds with, especially since I put together this little studio. Because you got to keep things cool, but you got to keep things quiet. You can't have, you know, big turbo fans. And before that, I didn't care. The louder, the better. If I had to wear earplugs, not that big a problem. But I wanted to try something a little more quiet. Obvious solution. AIOs, right? Water cooling. Not that big a deal. Yeah. I don't like having to check the PCs once a week.
Yes.
Because I do. Most of you are like, Vin, you're being crazy. And like, water always wins, kids. Every AIO, every water cooling system, if you've built enough of them, you know, they all eventually leak. It's just time. There's no if to it. And in Jackbox, which is their audio box, had a great little 120 AIO that sat right over a very expensive audio converter in the bottom of the PC, and that just bugged me.
Yeah,
bugged me every minute of my existence. I'm like, and I know, you're like, but propylene glycol, it's not terrible. Like, you don't know, man. After the metal sits around in there, it gets electrically conductive. What was the solution? Did we go back to air cooling? Well, then we're back at step one, aren't we?
Then found a really great solution that we used to do back in the day in the 90s.
There was a company. Now, they had a habit of painting everything brown. You know who I'm talking about, right? Noctua. That's right. They got the owl on them. Well, they made this thing called the NHP1. It came out about 2 years ago. And you might have saw it. You know, why you might have thought is because Squeaky Linus and
yes.
Tech Jesus both did a video on it. Which, even at the time, I'm like, why are you wasting my time with this? Why? Because both of them put it on CPUs they knew it couldn't handle. Like, there's a big, Noctua did all this work of creating a page with all the compatibility stuff that you would need and would not need. Now, I'm going to give Gamers Nexus a little bit of credit because they at least tested it with a 3600 after they got done with the clickbait stuff. You know, I'm like, hey, look how quickly it overheats when it's running a 100 and whatever TDP what CPU. I'm like, of course it did. I didn't have a whole lot of faith in it, you know, and I kind of didn't blame the, you know, the YouTubers got to do the YouTube things for the clicks. I wanted to get some real data for this thing for the rest of us. Oh, that's what I set out to do. And I'm like, okay, let's try this with the 5600G, which was already in Jackbox, which is a 65 watt TDP. I got a big chonky case already. So recommended case, and you're going to need a big case for this thing. It is massive. I stuck all that together and I didn't expect much. I'm like, you know what? This thing's probably going to work pretty well as a digital audio workstation, but that's no fun. I put an entire video together. There it is, to give you an idea of the size. That's a Threadripper cooler on the right side there, which is a big, chonky, massive, you know, perspective. Let me back that up.
Yeah.
That fan, that's 140 millimeter fan, not 120 millimeter fan. Pretty big. Also, it came with a screwdriver with a Torx bit on the end.
Nice.
Horrible.
You have to have that one special screwdriver.
That's where you have to keep it.
Yeah.
That's where you have to keep it unless you have a special drawer in your house with the one-time use things that you got to keep track of for that one product. Because you know what? In 5 years from now, you might want to upgrade your CPU. If you don't have that drive, you're either going to be going out and trying to find one of that length with that bit, or you're just out of luck. I hate stuff like that.
And like, I know.
But it makes it more secure to tighten the things. And I'm like, guys, because I was excited. I'm like, oh, cool. Knocked a brown screwdriver. I'm like, oh, it's useless. Great. And that thing is now in my drawer of like one-time use things. And it did fit in the video. I stick it in. You get an idea of, for your audio listeners, it's big enough to where it covers up the RAM. All right.
That's huge.
Like there's RAM under that, like way under that. But it is there. I did a bit of torture testing because I didn't want them to have all the fun. So I decided to compile kernel 6.8, maxing out all 12 threads, fast as they go, 4 gigahertz, flat out. I was like, let's see how long this thing's going to take to throttle. I'm like, I expected, you know, maybe like 3 or 4 minutes. It never throttled. It never throttled. This thing was able, the entirety of it was 16 minute run, 80. And the throttle, I think it's a 93 or 95 on the 6500. Like it was fine. And running it as a DAW basically ran the same as the AIO and the little shot there. Oh, I was really impressed with it. I had a good time.
Yay, Ben.
No moving parts. Now, I do have a marketing idea for Noctua. They should really market this for audiophiles. They should put some capacitors on it and a tube and tell them that it improves sonic fidelity with megahertz magic, whatever.
It looks a little bit like a square Dalek.
They could do it. And, you know, hey, man, like we've seen like the NVMe drives with like they. You know, this is how you fool an idiot. You just solder on some big capacitors on something. They go, oh, that's audio stuff right there, man. I know what I'm talking. It's big. Look at those big old capacitors. I'll pay more for it because they're fools. That was my little joke for that. But yeah, everything else was relatively straightforward. Had a good time with it. And all the benchmarks and charts. So if you've been thinking about picking one up, it's not cheap. Not cheap. Mm-hmm. Like $100 for a big block of, a little copper block with a huge block of aluminium.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't really have fins. It has plates and it does get hot. You know, it uses the magic of just convection to like suck. Because you can hold your, you can feel air moving at the top of the cave. You're like, ooh, okay, all right, I get it. Which, you know, if I had some more time, I genuinely think if you tested this in an open air bench, you would get worse results than if you did actually in a case. So you definitely want this in a case, not just like sitting out. I'd have to put that sense for the test. Installation's really straightforward with a socket AM4. You can use your existing backplate. Don't do what I did in the video, which was like, because you know, the backplates on the AM4, they're usually pretty sticky. You can kind of rely on them to like hold that one. That one wasn't feeling the sticky when I pulled off the screw, so it just like fell to the bottom. And I'm like, and I had to take the back plate off. Not the back plate, but the back of the case off. I'm like, I'm going to get away with this super easy, which I did not. And of course, you can always put a fan on it, but Yeah, if you're looking to build a very large home theater PC.
Yeah.
Large. There's an entire, like, multi, it'll tell you what RAM clearance, CPUs, what cases. You gotta do a little bit of research, but there's no moving parts and it's completely silent. Probably wouldn't work that well for a gaming PC, but for digital audio workstation, if you get a 60, basically, right. If you get a 65 watt TDP CPU and a reasonable ambient temperature, you know, it's usually in the studio, it's about 18°C. I don't know what that is in freedom units. It's like, whatever. I'm not going to look it up. Which is not hot. You know, if it's hot, it's going to struggle and you might want to get a fan with it. But yeah, there you go. Not really necessarily Linux related, but we did build a kernel on it.
Yeah, that's cool, Van. I don't know if you know, me and you had talked about not too long ago. I used to make my own heat sinks for my Pentium Pros back in the day, back in the 90s. And I remember you mentioned that you had done that too. So
I milled water blocks.
Oh, okay. So this is kind of that solution.
This is way more advanced than what we were doing way back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
You go back and you look at, just throwing a massive block, then you got to deal with metallurgy versus, like, why? Why does it have a copper core with aluminium pins? Why is that, Joe?
Copper core? Well,
copper core with aluminium fins.
Yeah. Well, the fins dissipate, move the heat away.
Yeah, but why are the fins not copper?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's interesting because I've only dealt with copper.
This is the reason you see this a lot.
Is it the heat?
It's definitely related.
Okay.
Warning, everybody. I'm going to teach you a little bit of science. So go ahead and hide the video. Cut it off. Mute it.
I want to hear.
Just in case you're like, hey, I don't want to learn anything. This is, you look at a lot of coolers, you'll see like a copper slug in the middle, right?
Yeah.
And it'll be sandwiched around aluminium. Copper is really good at absorbing heat, at getting the initial load.
Yeah.
Aluminium is better at radiating it.
At dissipating. Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
That's why you see that combination of so often. So there you go. Science time. You accidentally learned something on the show.
There you go, Ben.
But nice. That's why you'll see like copper, water blocks are always copper.
Yeah. Know,
or nickel plated aluminium and like whatever. Like I used to drill press back in the, like they were hyper primitive plexiglass. They leaked. They were great times. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to wrap it up for this week's show. I need to thank not one. Not two. First, I just want to thank everybody. If you're in the audience right now, you know who you are. You're a beautiful party patrons making the show possible, keeping everything ad-free, no commercials. I mean, not unless you want to count Interfacing Linux commercial, but you guys got a sneak peek at that video a week before everybody else, because I'm good like that. You know, I appreciate some feedback. Head over there at patreon.com/LinuxGameCast if you want the highest quality version of the show, commercial-free, available for download. You get the uncut version. Now, we do the show, it's about 30 minutes, but there's usually about an hour, hour and a half worth of content in there. It's basically the live stream cleaned up, made in MP3, and of course, access to our show notes, access to our Discord, all the other freebies. All of that is on LinuxGameCast.com under the support tab. And if you want to be like one of the beautiful people, like one art there, and send me horrible little nasty blue things that are very, very shouty, but also very informative, you know, trying to do the good thing here. You know, we're taking that knock to a cooler and actually testing it on the right thing. We're taking an art card and we're going to get some real information for everybody else. I know that's a weird concept in today where I should be covering this with mayonnaise and trying to install it upside down in a fishbowl for the clicks. Not going to do that. We're just going to get some real data for everybody to use. So I do appreciate that again, Arthur. And you're already on our fine upstanding cannibal wall.
Yeah.
Oh, we got Jill's got a wish list. Want to pick up something? You can send it a note. I don't know where that note is. Go back and listen to Saturday's episode if you want to hear the dulcet poetic writing of one Arthurin who wrote in. But we got two new patrons this week.
Yeah, we do.
And I keep on messing this up because our latest executive producer is not 1, 2, 3, 4. Nay, No. It is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Five. That's awesome.
Has joined at the executive producer level, which probably like the big fringe benefit of that. If you really like Linux Gamecast, we give you live video feed. So if you want to check out the pre-super shows and before everybody else, that's a production meeting. Everything gets discussed during that time. And of course, our latest member of the Chicago area, King Bonge.
King Bonge. I like that name.
Beautiful. Do appreciate it. Yeah, and thanks, man. Fun times. Yeah. We got a bunch of stuff planned, and I got a lot of stuff going on. Go check us out, linuxgamecast.com, interfacinglinux.com, and things they be in the works. All right. Is that good? Can we go? All right.
Yeah.
All right, sure. Let's do some credits.
We got our advisors, our wonderful advisors, Omegas and Artheron, and now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We've got our... Oh, no, no. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is a new executive producer. Sorry about that. And we got Sea Monsters, Truggy, Veritanuna, Justin, Hakeem, our Death Notes, Rue, Turnover, Ogiwan, and Fox Dog, Swine, Piper. Some of our Chairlings are Martin W., Rohit. These, all our beautiful patrons, they go by so quickly, I can't read them all. But you all know who you are, and we love you all.
I don't know. Somebody's like, I don't know who I am. Jill didn't say who I was. I will forever be lost until next week.
Yes.
All right, beautiful people. We'll see
you. Love you all.
Next week. Bye-bye.